I want the message tonight to impact our lives, and for that we're going to pray. We're in our series on Wednesday night, Faith Like Our Fathers. People of the Bible were folks just like us. They put their faith in God, and God shaped them because they were believing in Him. So right before we begin, let's pause and pray. Father, I ask you tonight that by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching and teaching of your word, that you would move in such a way that our lives would be altered from having been in this service. Lord, you know the plethora of needs tonight. You know each heart that's here. You know each troubled mind, soul. God, and I pray you would speak to us through your word, your timeless word, your eternal word, that we could be perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to preach with one word in mind tonight, and I hope it's a word that'll stick with you from this point on in your Christian walk. And the word I want to use, and I'm talking to all of us tonight, is the word despite. Despite. Not out of spite, but despite. So, you know, the word despite basically means regardless. Just regardless of certain factors. There's these factors in your life that are in opposition to you, or they're in opposition to your purposes, but regardless of those, let me give you some illustrations. Here's this man might say this: despite getting a late start, despite that it rained all day, despite that I lost my best lure, I caught a lot of fish. Okay? Here's another example. Despite the car breaking down, despite getting a cold, despite our motel reservation being canceled, we had a great time on our vacation. Just one more to get the idea. Despite of losing her job, despite the kids being sick, despite her roof leaking, she graduated, got a degree, and got a great job. In other words, all the negative things did not affect the outcome. Despite, the negative things do not affect the outcome. So hear me tonight, church. There are a lot of negative things that happen in life. Wasn't that a revelation? How many can concur with me? There's a lot of negative things that happen in life. There are a lot of negative things that happen to the Christian. But the negative things will not affect the outcome if we keep our faith fixed in God. You see, despite everything Satan does to keep you from being blessed, despite what Satan does to keep you and I from overcoming, despite what Satan does to keep us from making it to heaven, God's going to make sure you're blessed. God's going to make sure you overcome. God's going to make sure you make it to heaven, despite. So let's look at our text tonight. Two verses. Jacob is speaking to his wives, Rachel and Leah, and he says, "And ye know that with all my power I have served your father." Listen to this. "And your father," speaking of Laban, "hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not, or did not allow him to hurt me." So your father did all these things against me, but God did not permit him to hurt me. So let me tell you the story. Now, where we're at in the story is Joseph worked 7 years for Rachel. Laban tricked him and gave him Leah. On the very wedding night, Jacob sneaked his older daughter Leah into the honeymoon chamber. What a deception. What an awful thing. But because of that, working 7 more years for Rachel, through Rachel and Leah and their concubines, Jacob had 11 sons. And from these is going to come the nation of Israel. Now, I shared that because when Rachel, the favorite wife, finally had a son, Joseph, Jacob is moved upon that it's time to go home. So Jacob goes to his father-in-law and he says, "You could check. You know that I've completed my 7 extra years for Rachel. But now I want to go back home to my country and my family. So let me go with my wives that I've paid for. Let me go with all the children that they've given me, because it's time for me to leave. What does Laban do? He immediately begins to beg Jacob not to leave. And he verbalizes the obvious fact. He says, every since you started working for me, I have prospered. My flocks have gotten bigger. My herd's gotten bigger. And then Laban reveals his religion. He says, by divination. That means I've been to a soothsayer. I went and saw the palm reader. And from the soothsayer, I have discovered that the reason I have prospered since you've been here is because of your God. And your God has worked through you and caused me to prosper. So Laban says, please don't leave. Just name your price. What will it cost me for you to stay and not go home? He said, I'll pay you whatever you want. Now, you know, Laban, he's oily. He's a trickster. He's a deceiver. So he doesn't really mean that, whatever price you name, I'll pay. He's just wanting to start bargaining. And so Jacob says, okay. He says, since you know that ever since I've been with you, your flocks of sheep and your herds of cattle have increased, and they've increased exponentially, and you know that the Lord has made you to prosper for my sake, but because of that, it's time that I start thinking of my own family. Okay, Laban says, well, go ahead then, tell me, what pay package do you want? What pay benefits do you want? And Jacob is surprisingly says, I don't want any pay. I just want you to agree to this very simple thing. You agree to let me keep on caring for your herds and your flocks, but let me walk around and go through every flock and herd, and let me just pick out those undesirable animals that have imperfect markings. Now, before I tell you this, I got to tell you a little something about the animals of Bible times. Sheep were almost always white, and goats were almost always black. And the solid color was the preferred and desired color. So if a sheep got spots of black, they would look at that as an undesirable animal. And if a goat got spots or streaks of white, they would look at that as an undesirable animal. So what Jacob proposed, he says, let me go through all your herds and all your flocks, and if there's any animal that has spots on it or streaks on it or is mottled, then those will be my animals. Now, Laban, he pretty quickly agrees to this for this reason. It's only a small percentage of animals genetically that have those spots and streaks. As low as 5%, maybe as high as 20% in some herds and flocks. But Laban sees this, that Jacob is only going to get very few of the animals. So he agrees with it. He says, well, you know, that's a great idea. Let's shake on it. You go through the herds and you pick out all those with spots and streaks. But Laban immediately does another deceptive thing. Before Jacob could even get back out to the herds and sheep, Laban says to his sons, come here, we got to hurry, you got to do this fast. He said, quickly, you go to the herds and sheep, and you find everyone with a spot, and he's saying this to his sons, everyone with a spot and streak, and take them out of here, get them out of the country, take them 3 days' journey away, because Jacob is about to go through the herds and flocks and get the spotted in the streak. This is like what Laban did to his own son-in-law. And so Jacob gets up the next morning and he goes out to inspect the herds and the flocks and to select those animals that are marked by spots and streaks, the miscolored, and he finds none because Laban's son has already extracted them. But Jacob just simply continues, keeps his part of the bargain, continues to care for Laban's flocks, but he thinks that he's got to do something to cause these animals to produce offspring with spots and streaks. So Jacob resorts to some superstitious things. I mean, we got a farmer here, you know. Brother Michael, think about what he did. He said, if I want animals, the mature animals, to produce offspring with streaks and spots, then I'll trick them. So he took some sticks, some off trees, and he scraped off the bark so it would leave the white showing. And he put these in the water troughs or in the water holes where the animals came to water. And the superstitious thinking was, if they drink in the water and they see the reflection or see the white streaks made by these bared bark sticks and rods, that will cause something to happen in their bodies. And then when they mate, their offspring will have the streaks just like they saw from the illusion of the rods with the bark removed. He resorted to that. And he resorted to that because it was a pagan idea. You could affect the animals by what they saw. What they saw when they mated would be seen in their offspring. So you can read it. It's all there in the Bible. He does that. And you know what? I don't know if he passed biology class or not, but it seemed to work. You got to get this. It seemed to work. All of these pure-colored white sheep started producing offspring of sheep with dark spots and streaks on them. And all these pure-colored black goats started producing offspring with white spots and streaks. It seemed to work, that superstitious thing that Jacob did. So what happened? Laban's herds, remember Jacob said, I'll separate them, the solid colors from the mottled colors. Laban's herds got smaller and smaller and weaker because Jacob did something else. I got to insert this. We'll bring the story together like we did. But when Jacob brought the animals together at the water hose before these rods with the white bark showing, he always brought the strongest animals so that the strongest animals would produce these kind of offspring. So Laban's herds are not only getting smaller, but the animals in his herd are getting weaker and weaker. And Jacob's herds are not only getting larger and larger, but the animals in them are stronger and stronger. Man, Jacob had something over on Darwin. He controlled it. Now, what happened to Jacob? When his sheep and goat herds got bigger, he has produce from them. He has wool from sheep. And he has milk and things to sell. And he does it. And he takes that, the Bible says, and he buys donkeys and he buys camels. And Jacob is becoming a very, very wealthy man. And with, not only can he buy camels and donkeys, but he's got money to hire servants. So the Bible says, now he's got all these servants. He's becoming richer and richer. And Laban's becoming poorer and poorer. But what has happened here? Here's what's happened. Despite everything that Laban has done to trick Jacob and cheat Jacob, God's promise to Jacob has finally come true. God says, you go and I'll bless you and I'll prosper you and I'll give you children. It's happening just like God said it was happening. Well, guess who gets upset? Laban's sons. I mean, they're the ones that's going to inherit Laban's wealth, and his flocks and herds are getting smaller, and they can tell that there's a decimation going on, and they begin to accuse behind his back, accuse Jacob of siphoning off or cheating Laban. Isn't that ironic? They're accusing Jacob of cheating Laban, and Laban's the cheater. But not only that, the Bible says that Jacob noticed that Laban's demeanor and countenance changed towards him. Laban began to treat Jacob very coldly. About this time, he's being talked about, he's being treated coldly. About this time, God speaks to Jacob. And he says to Jacob, it is time to go back home. And just like God, way out in the wilderness of Bethel with a rock for a pillar, just like God told Jacob that, I'll be with you when you go to Laban's house. Now God reappears and says, I'll be with you when you go back home. And so what did Jacob do? He called for Rachel and Leah. There's so much intrigue in this story. And we'll bring it all together. But listen to what Jacob did. It's in the Bible. He calls for Rachel and Leah to come to him out in the fields. Why? Why didn't he just talk to him when he got home that night? Because he didn't want some servant hearing and the word to get back to Rachel and Leah's brothers and get back to Laban. And so he calls Rachel and Leah, his wives, out into the field and says, listen, you got to keep this quiet. We don't want your dad to find out. But God has told me to go back home and to take you and to take the children, but we got to keep this secret. And Jacob said, you got to understand something, wives. You've seen it. You've seen how your father's changed in the way that he treats me. But he inserts here. Jacob says, your dad has changed the way he treats me, but God hasn't. God's treating me the same. God's treating me good. And he says to his wives, Jacob did, you know how hard I've worked for your father. You know how he keeps cheating me. You know how he's changed my wages. Here it is from Scripture. He's changed my wages 10 times. But Jacob said, God did not allow your father through cheating me and changing my wages to win. God, despite what your father has done, has blessed me. And Jacob began to talk about how Laban tried to trick him. He said, you know, your father said I could have all the streaked and spotted animals. So when I started pulling out the streaked and spotted animals, your father came back and said, oh, no, I meant just the spotted animals. So when I started pulling out just the spotted animals, your father came back and said, no, I didn't mean the spotted animals. I meant the streaked animals. Your father did this to me. But God made sure your father did not win. Then Jacob told him this. And the moment we through the story, we'll be able to apply it. But Jacob said, I had a dream. He's talking to his wives. I had a dream. Now, you got to get this. He said, in my dream, I saw the spotted and streaked strong animals mating and having this offspring. Now, you got to think. What literally happened is the solid colors animals produced the streaked and spotted offspring. But Jacob said, in my dream, I saw that the streaked and spotted ones had offspring. And though they did not speak in terms of DNA or genetics in that time, God was showing Jacob something. Jacob, it wasn't your rods that you stripped of bark that caused the offspring to be streaked and spotted. He says, they look to you like solid colored animals. But in them, now again, they didn't use this language, they didn't have it then. But those solid colored animals, I put the genes in them. I put the streaked and spotted DNA in them so that their offspring would be spotted and streaked. Jacob, it wasn't the rods. It was me, was what God was saying through the dream. And God said, I'm showing you that despite what Laban did to you, I didn't let it happen. You see, when Laban got to the herds before Jacob and took the spotted and the streaked, he not only took the animals that already had those conditions, but he left all the animals by taking those. In other words, he took the ones that could produce those kind of animals away. He thought he had it sewed up. And so God said one more thing. He said, Jacob, remember when you were in Bethel, that ladder. I said I was going to bless you, I was going to give you many descendants, and I was going to give you land. Jacob, look, I've given you descendants, you got 11 sons. Jacob, I've blessed you, you prospered, look at your flocks. Now, Jacob, it's time for me to do the third thing. Go back home, I'm going to give you the land, despite what Laban's done. Now, because our story was lengthy tonight, I'm not going to do the normal section of truths. I'm only going to do one truth tonight. And I'm going to skip straight to the take-home. Our word tonight is despite. So here's the take-home tonight. God will bless you. Please hear. We've been talking about Jacob 4,000 years ago. It's applicable for you tonight. Number one, God will bless you and fulfill his will for you despite your being done wrong. Someone said, well, I'm quitting church. Someone did me wrong. If you're here tonight and you've lived over 30 minutes, and you've never been done wrong in your life, you've never been done wrong, would you please raise your hand? Nobody's ever done you wrong at any time in life. Despite your being done wrong, Jacob was done wrong by Laban. Over and over, worked 7 years for Rachel. Laban slipped in Leah. He's done wrong by Laban. He's cheated by Laban. 10 times he has his wage changed. And yet God, despite Jacob's being done wrong, he gave Jacob children, even though Laban was doing wrong, God gave him flocks. So could I say tonight, despite being done wrong, God will make sure that you are blessed. He did it with Jacob. And you will be done wrong. But that does not affect whether or not God can bless you. In fact, God used Laban's wrong to bless Jacob. More children and more flocks because Laban had done him wrong. Secondly tonight, God will bless you and fulfill his will for you despite the efforts to keep you from success. It wasn't just that Laban was doing Jacob wrong. He did things that would keep Jacob from succeeding and prospering. I already mentioned it. When Laban took the spotted and the streaked animals, he didn't just take the ones that were that way right now. He took the progenitors. He took the ones who were able to produce spotted and streaked animals. He thought, I have kept Jacob from being successful. I have kept his herds from growing. At every turn, Laban took advantage of Jacob to keep him from succeeding. But because God was involved, Jacob succeeded. His flocks grew. His herds grew. Can I tell you tonight that anyone who succeeds and overcomes and makes it does it despite efforts to keep him from succeeding? Does it despite efforts to keep him from prospering? Listen, Jacob had a deceiver called Laban, but we have a deceiver too, called Satan. How many knows that Satan does everything he can to keep us from success in serving God? How many know Satan does everything he can to keep us from overcoming? But could I tell you tonight, despite the efforts to keep you from succeeding, in Jacob's words, God won't let it happen. He'll cause you to prosper. And then tonight, God will bless you and fulfill his will for you despite your misconceived efforts to make it happen on your own. I took a little time telling it because it's so important to the story. All those rods with the bark stripped off them at mating time. Jacob did that because of superstitious beliefs, but he really thought he was affecting the process, and he really thought, Jacob did, that he was responsible for the outcome. He really thought, I'm having all these streaked and spotted offspring because of what I did, until the dream, and God showed him clearly it wasn't because of what he did. It's because of what God did. Amen. You know, God prospers our lives not because of all our efforts, not because of all the good things we do, but how many knows that God, despite our bungling efforts, he blesses us. Isn't that the goodness of God? Despite. You know, one of the stories I love to tell, I just love simple stories, but about that woodpecker. He's up on that tree and he rears back his head. And he plunges his beak into that tree. And the same time his beak hit the tree, a bolt of lightning struck the tree and just split it in half. And that woodpecker pulled back his head and said, look what I did. That's what Jacob was saying. Look what I did. God showed him a dream. It's despite what you did. I'm not saying we shouldn't give it our best and try our best. I'm just telling you, at the end of the day, when we are blessed and we are prospered, it's despite what we've done, not because of it. It's God that's done it. God will bless you and fulfill his will for you despite your being talked about. The scripture is clear that Laban's sons, Jacob's sons-in-law, were talking behind his back. They were making all types of false accusations. They called Jacob a thief. But did you know what? For all their talk, there's two things. Just because they talked about Jacob as a thief, it did not make him a thief. And the second thing is, their talk did not keep him from prospering. How many old folks say bad things about you, talk behind your back? I mean, don't look behind you right now, but I just want you to know, folks do that. They talk behind your back. But that did not make it true. Neither did it keep Jacob from prospering. Could I say, despite your being talked about, amen, you can succeed. You can be blessed. You can overcome. Amen. It's those who are doing things that are talked about. I mean, why are Laban's sons talking about Jacob? Because he's doing something. He's building his herds. His flocks are getting bigger. He's doing something. He's talked about. But their talk did not keep him from prospering. And then God will bless you and fulfill his will for you despite people's changing towards you. The scripture is clear that Laban began to treat Jacob coldly. Jacob even called the daughters, Leah and Rachel, attention to the fact that their father was treating him coldly, that his countenance had changed towards Jacob. Now, this is interesting because Laban had always been talking good about Jacob. I mean, it was false, but I mean, it was true that Jacob was doing good, but Laban was talking good about him for his own purposes. But just in our scripture tonight, Laban had bragged about Jacob and begged him to stay. And now Laban's standoffish. He won't talk to Jacob. He talks about him. He avoids Jacob. But I want you to notice something first of all. It is when Laban began to treat Jacob coldly that God began to speak and make himself known to Jacob. It's not a comfortable feeling when folks treat you coldly. But despite that, that can be the time when God begins to manifest himself and speak clearly to you and warmly to you. Look it up. Look it up. Chapter 31, 30 and 31. When Laban turns against Jacob, God begins to reveal himself to Jacob. Amen. But not only that, it prepared Jacob and his wives for leaving. Laban's cold treatment of Jacob convinced even his own daughters, Jacob's wives, that it was time to go. Look how daddy's acting. Unjustified. He's the one that is at fault. So despite people's changing towards you, you can triumph. You can overcome. God's will can be done in your life. I thought of a friend and pastor's wife that I know that had a sister that was just a very close friend. I mean, they were like this, and their life was lived together, their children and the things they did. And then one day, out of the blue, the pastor's wife's friend just up and left. I mean, the family left the church, and that friend wouldn't talk to her, wouldn't speak to her, was just no reason known, no offense done, just. And I remember what a tremendous discouragement and depression that pastor's wife went through when that coldness came her way. It'd be easy to quit at a time like that. But what you need at a time like that, you need an attitude of despite. Despite of folks treating me coldly, God is going to cause me to triumph. Amen. Just two more. God will bless you and fulfill his will for you despite others seeming to be in control. Laban always sought to control things. He cheated Jacob. He sneaked away the streaked and spotted animals. Even Jacob thought he was in control of things with that little thing he did about the rods. But God made clear through his visitation to Jacob, Laban's not in control. I wouldn't let him hurt you. I didn't permit his cheating to win. And Jacob, you're not in control. It was what I did with the animals, not what you did. Despite others, how many know sometimes the boss seems to be in control? How about finances? Ever felt like your finances were in control? Sickness. Ever felt like sickness was in control of your life? Well, didn't get any amens. What about age? Anyone ever felt like age was getting in control of things? But the lesson tonight from our story is, despite it seeming like other things are in control, it's God that's in control. And that's why we prosper. That's why we overcome. One more thing, and there's others, but I'll limit it to this. God will bless you and fulfill his will for you despite the time that has passed. As you go through the story of Jacob, there's different ways of looking at it, but really, basically, it's been 20 years since Jacob left Bethel, where God promised him prosperity and descendants. 20 years. And for most of those years, he had worked only for his wives. For most of those years, he had no flocks, he had no animals, he had no riches. For 20 years since God promised, he had been cheated and maligned. 20 years later, Jacob's still away from home. He's still away from the promised land that God had promised to Abraham. But despite the time that has passed, God made everything come true. Suddenly, Jacob has the blessings of prosperity. He has the descendants. And now God says, I'm going to make the third part of that promise come true. I'm going to take you home and give you the land I promised to your father Abraham. Could I say, despite the time that's gone by without receiving God's promise, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Think in terms of despite. Despite all the time that's happened since I started praying about this, despite that, God's still going to move. The blessing's still coming. I'm still going. We give up sometimes. We got to have that despite attitude. Despite it being 5 years seeking God for this. Despite that it's been 10 years since God spoke that to my heart. Despite the time that's gone by, God is going to make it happen. Would you come, music? And so I want to bring it all together with this simple thing. I want to leave you with this tonight. When the negative comes, learn to say despite. I can't fill in the blank tonight. You must. Very personal matter. I don't know where you're at in any of this. I mean, I can make some guesses being pastor of some people's thing. But what do you need to put in the blank tonight? Would you think with me? Would you look at the wall with me, please, and think with me? What would you put in the blank? How would you express your faith to God tonight? I don't know what you're going to put in the blank, but despite blank, I will serve the Lord. I will overcome. I will triumph. What did you? No, I mean, don't say it out loud. I'm just asking you as a speaker tonight, as a preacher. What did you put in the blank? Despite. Maybe you didn't put it in the blank, but maybe you need to put it in the blank tonight. Despite that thing, despite that person, despite that difficulty, despite that attack, despite that, I will serve the Lord. I will overcome. I will try. I hope you don't forget that word, despite. Amen. Could you stand? Father, thank you. Thank you for this story. Thank you for showing that it was you and not Jacob. It was you despite Laban. God, give a faith in our hearts that we will overcome. We will triumph with our faith fixed in you. Hallelujah. God, give us a heart that desires to triumph despite. Desires to overcome despite. Desires the blessings of the Lord despite. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Could you come tonight? Despite. Could you come tonight?